Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hello, everyone, and thank you again for listening to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Well, this show this evening has a little bit of a twist to it, no pun intended. I tried to think about a topic that you might find interesting based on what I've had to go through in the last month here regarding my husband and I putting our will together. And for those of you out there who have done either a trust or an extensive will slash trust, it can be pretty hair-raising, especially if you don't have kids in your family. And so we were tasked with getting ours done again, because we moved to, of course, Minnesota from Indiana. And, of course, the wills are written a little bit differently. And when you're writing your will and you are faced with having to look into a crystal ball to try to figure out when, where, how, why, you get a little bit on the baffled side because it's not really as easy as you might think it is. You have a bunch of stuff you have to get rid of. You have to figure out who's going to be the one managing all this stuff. You have to figure out who's going to pay your bills. And that's just the beginning part. You might die, and your soul may hang around for at least a month or two, which, by the way, I believe is true. But the other part of it, of course, is the fact that when you've collected so much stuff and you got to figure out what to do with it, it can be quite tasking. So while I was in the process of thinking about my death and how I might proceed with that, I figured out something that most people don't usually do. And no, I'm not being buried with an animal. No, I'm not being buried sitting on top of a motorcycle. I was going to say a microphone. That would be interesting now, wouldn't it? And I came up with a different aspect that I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be burying myself. I'm going to be cremated, but I'm going to be burying myself with other things in a coffin as a time capsule. And that might sound really bizarre to some of you, but if you begin to think about it, for me and my situation here, I have been so blessed to have so many accomplishments in my life, and still hope to have more, that I just don't want my stuff ending up in a landfill. That's just being bluntly honest with you. If I'm going to have my life and dedicated my life to being the best I could possibly be in many different things, I am going to turn myself into a time capsule, and I'm bringing stuff down with me. Now, you should have seen the expression on the funeral director's face when I said, no, I've got something a little bit more unusual that I think I'm going to do here. And at first, he was expecting me to say, oh, I'm going to be buried with, you know, cans of beer or deceased animals or you name it or whatever. And then when I said, no, I'm going to make myself into a coffin time capsule to keep the stuff out of the landfill, I'm not sure he could really grasp that really well at first. It was kind of a different type of idea for him. But, you know, people are making themselves into jewelry these days and paperweights. By the way, with the paperweights, be careful because they end up at garage sales. And, you know, do you want to be passed around forever, you know, from one household to the next? Just all kinds of things. People are having themselves being stuff that are made into trees and plants and shrubs and, you know, just all kinds of stuff. But for me, I would rather just take it with me. They say you can't take it with you. Well, of course you can. It's just how you take it with you. So anyway, in the process of all of that, I had done a little research, and then I started to think about death in and of itself. Very, you know, kind of like that's something we don't want to think about every day, but eventually you'll have to think about your death. And I thought, you know what would be real interesting? What would be interesting if I could find situations that people had gone through, the ones that have to deal with the death, and see, you know, what kinds of stuff is out there. So I collected what I could to make it interesting tonight. So please bear with me and try not to see the morbidness behind the idea of death, because after all, you're listening to a paranormal show and we talk about this constantly in various ways, but have we ever talked about it truthfully from the get-go? So anyway, all right, so we're first going to start out with the haunted report, and then we're going to move into Mildred's section called Ghoulish Chatterbox, and then we'll get into our Meg's main segment tonight, which will be aspects and different types of things to think about or hear about regarding the death of people. Stay tuned.
Did I hear somebody come in?
Welcome to the Haunted Report. For the past few weeks, I've been trying to figure out what I could share with you on this segment tonight. That has been figured out. Baffled about this situation because it rarely happens. And I mean it rarely happens. And so bear with me as I try to describe the first of the first experiences that not only I had, but my husband had as well. So I'm a big, not fan, proponent, observer, whatever you want to call me, when it comes to moon phases, when it comes to certain times of the year, try to keep my antennas up and on high alert to see if I can put my finger on anything that explains something. Most of you who have been following my show know that when I went to a conference over the summer in May, that I was challenged momentarily by a speaker when I had asked the simple question, how do you know if it's poltergeist or how do you know if it's paranormal activity? I explained to him that I've had over 100 experiences, everything from the mild to the traumatic, and couldn't figure out why this stuff was going on around me. It just so happens that the conference in and of itself was about the paranormal, UFOs, psychokinesis. You know, psychokinesis is where essentially you can cause a poltergeist activity that comes directly from you with your unconsciousness by forming a relationship with objects around you. And as I grew to learn more about this topic, I have begun to wonder and question which is paranormal, you know, what I experience or what is something that I'm doing myself. Well, up until a month or two ago when I had that poltergeist activity in my home, I can't remember, but I just know if I have an unconsciousness that seems to be pretty strong, then it scares me a little bit because what on earth is it that's coming out of my body during periods of time, even when I'm awake, that demonstrates to me things like the wardrobe, that door flew open that was impossible to open, the oil bottle in the pantry that was smashed in half, the cups that flung themselves against the wall in the pantry, landing back in a nice little place, all kinds of things. I'm just a clock dials, you know, advancing, or I still say it was Carmen that made the clock dial go backwards an hour because she had told me about that experience. And that was surprising to run into that or to see that in my house. But there's just all kinds of things. And when I talked with this conference or the speaker at this conference on, psychokinesis, he had asked me if there was the possibility that I was abducted by a UFO. And I really couldn't tell you unless I go and I have some kind of a regression done. And even then, I'm a little nervous about it because what if I don't ever come out of it, But I'm curious to see if someone can bring me back to something that might put its finger on something here. Because he felt that the only time he had heard about the occurrences that I've had, may they be strong or may they be weak or whatever, he felt that something might have triggered all this. So let me explain what happened to my husband and I about a week ago, and then you can be the judge of this. Am I doing it myself, or is there something hanging about doing it for us, and trying to baffle us in this whole situation? All right, so here's the story. The story is that we both were in bed. I felt different when I woke up in the morning, and I said, what the, you can fill in the blank, what the, and I had no clothes on, and I always wear my pajamas to bed. I do know when I was younger, I've had some bouts of sleepwalking. Sometimes when I'm listening to some of these shows, these paranormal shows, they bring me back to certain places in my life where they describe things that have actually happened to me. Just bear with me for a moment. So I'm going to bring you back to a time when I was in my mid-20s. And this was about 30 years ago, almost to the day. So there was one night one morning where I woke up and I had it's not a prom dress, but it's something similar to one of those special event dresses, very long. And I woke up and I was wearing it and it was backwards on me. It was like inside out. And I thought, you can fill in the blank. Okay. And I couldn't figure out how I managed to do this other than potentially sleepwalking in my sleep. But if the dress is hung up in the dresser that is not inside out, then what on earth was I doing putting it on and inside out? Okay. And the reason why I bring this up is because very, very few times in my life, very few, do I sleepwalk to my knowledge to the point where I'm doing stuff that I don't have any recollection of at all. So a week ago when I woke up and I had no clothes on, I thought, I feel weird. I feel funny. And then I realized that my PJs were over on a chair, just kind of in a puddled sitting there. And I said to my husband, I said, do you know how this might have happened? He said, no, because he said, I had my own experience. He said, I woke up and his pillowcase was completely off of his pillow, completely, and in a puddle lying next to between us, in our bed. And let me explain to you something about pillowcases in my house. We can have an average sized pillow, queen pillow sized or something like that. And I buy king size pillowcases and put them in there, and then I, fold over the other foot that doesn't belong on the pillow. So I can assure you that there was no way possible that his pillowcase came off and was puddled between us that night, same night, especially when I noticed that my PJs were puddled on a chair, not next to me, but on a chair, you know, like down by where my feet were, and chair to the side. So I cannot explain that to you. I do not know if it's paranormal. I have no idea how on earth his pillowcase got off his pillow and puddled between us. I have no recollection of anything at all. It was like I woke up, I felt funny, I mentioned it to him. He also told me about his experience, and then I thought about one show that I had just watched. It's called Famously Afraid, where this gentleman was talking about his own UFO experiences and didn't really connect the dots until he was basically connecting the dots. And I thought, you know, he showed something on that television show that I wish I never would have said. Because he said that if you say this name, don't be surprised if you might have some kind of an experience. I'm not sharing it with you. I don't even want to say it. I don't even want to think it. I see it in my head right now, but I don't even want to think it. Because it bugs me that much to know that if there's that even remote possibility that by saying a name of something can instigate something that you might not be aware of, well, then I'm not bringing it on. Trust me. So anyway, I thought you might find that interesting. I have no ideas. If I wish I had a camera or a video set up. I wish I had one that night set up in the room. It would have been very interesting to see exactly what went down. One of the things that bugs me, too, is that our room is directly outside of a stairway, you know. And I am now going to tell you about a situation that I had maybe 3-4 months ago, where I actually fell down those stairs twice. At first I thought that I was not calculating my foot placement very well, and that I was missing the step. And so then, you know, how when you have carpeting on your stairwells, that if you put your foot in the wrong spot, especially around the curvature of it, that it can be very slippery and you can fall down the stairs. Well, I think I had my hand on the rail, and I still fell down the stairs. This was during that time I had that poltergeist activity. And it just didn't happen during that time. It also happened when I was bringing stuff down to our basement, and I was saying to my husband, be careful, you don't want to fall down the stairs. And the minute I said that, I fell down the stairs with a whole box of stuff in my hands, lying there. And, of course, sprained my foot or my toes or whatever. But they were sore for a while. And, again, I completely discounted that as my misstepping, my overthinking something, my whatever something. And then all of a sudden it happens. I can't explain that either, but I'm certainly connecting the dots. In the event that it was a poltergeist situation, similar just around the same time, as when I had all those other occurrences go on. Something was trying to keep my husband out of the house from the garage when he tried to open the door. You know, I heard those things going on in the kitchen. There's all kinds of things that were happening. It seems to be fairly quiet now, and I don't seem to notice that happening much at all, and I don't want to bring it on either, because the one thing I feel good about is when I have complete peacefulness in my house. Anyway, those were my experiences since the poltergeist, especially in the last week. Do I think it has anything to do with UFO activity? I have absolutely no idea. I'm not going to sit and say yes. I'm not going to sit and say no. I'm going to say something really weird happened that were not caused by husband or me, you know, with all of this. And it just brought me back to another time. And some of these shows I've been listening to where things were happening and they're describing things the exact same way. I want to bring up a show that I was listening to. I can't remember what its name was, but it talked about a little boy who was abducted. Really sad story. And they found him in a, I don't know if it was in a marsh or something like that. They weren't sure if it was a Bigfoot encounter, Sasquatch, or UFO encounter. But what they did is they found him, unfortunately he had passed, lying on a rock, a large rock out in a marsh somewhere, and his pants or his clothes were off of him and they were inside out and folded on and placed on top of him. Apparently that's a true story. And I'm going with it. Just judging from everything weird that I seem to experience, it doesn't surprise me anymore what happens out there. Anyway, I'm going to leave that to you for food for thought. I thought you might be interested in some of these encounters. I have no idea if I've been doing this myself, but my husband would have woken up if I was trying to pull his pillowcase off of his pillow. Let me put it to you that way. He would have woken up. And we are both to this day very baffled by what happened to us here. And I'm still very fascinated in the, I'm getting more fascinated now by the UFO phenomenon that's out there. And I just don't want to bring any of it to my household. And if I did, by accidentally saying this one name that I refuse to say on the radio here, let me just say that some of this stuff is very real. Here ends the Haunted Report.
Hey there. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a great new radio show on Para X. Two hosts, 1 hour, and too much fun. Stephanie and Heidi not only talk about the latest goings-on in the supernatural worlds, they live it. They want to hear from you. They want to help you understand and guide you. And they want you to tune in. So, grab a friend or come alone to gather around that metaphysical table with Heidi and Stephanie. If you're interested in the worlds of the unseen, tune in to The Gathering Radio Show, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Para X Radio.
Do you often sleep
with the lights on?
Dark out there. To me, I think we're going to get some weather today. Oh, geez. You know, with all of the clothes that need to be washed around here, if I don't get Mildred to start at least a good load of it, I have absolutely no idea what we're going to wear this week. Hey, Mildred!
Yes, Dr. Kelly?
Would you come downstairs for a moment, please? I think I need you to start a load of laundry.
I don't like laundry.
Mildred, you know it's your turn this week, and I think we're going to get some weather to come in.
What do you mean weather? I'm looking outside right now, and where I'm looking, it looks like a beautiful day.
Well, I don't think it's going to be a beautiful day, so come on down, okay?
All right, Dr. Kelly. You know, I just don't know about Dr. Kelly. She must be looking in the wrong area, because to me, today is going to be nothing but a beautiful day. A beautiful day. I'm going to wash clothes. Yes, it's a beautiful day. I'm going to wash those clothes and wring those clothes and hang those clothes and dry those clothes. Yes, indeed, it is going to be a beautiful day. Well, I better get started. Ew! Stinky! If there's one thing I just don't like, well, smelly clothes. Well, I better gather them up here and put them in my basket. Go downstairs. Okay, now I'm at the washing machine. I'm going to lift the lid. I'm going to start the machine. And oh, I guess the weather is coming in. It sounds like it's raining outside. I think I accidentally put my cell phone in with these clothes. Oh, Dr. Kelly is going to be so mad at me. I better climb in and get my cell phone.
Oh, for God's sakes, where did that girl go? This lid is open, the clothes are swirling around inside, and they look to be, well, looks to me like she probably didn't put in enough soap. So it looks to me now I'm going to have to manually wash these clothes.
Dr. Kelly! Stop! Dr. Kelly! I'm in with the clothes! I'm... Dr. Kelly!
Was that the doorbell? Well, I'm going to have to go down and see who's at the door, so I'm going to have to come back and finish this later. Mildred! Get down here and finish these clothes! Oh, jeez.
Gee! How's a girl supposed to get ahead these days? Got my cell phone! Well, I better get these clothes into the dryer here. Now, let me turn this on. And after all, I'm still going to celebrate, regardless of the rain, that it is a beautiful day.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
The topic I'm going to discuss this evening is on death. This is the educational portion of the podcast. When I was trying to figure out what topic to bring to you this evening, I decided that since I've been so open about my thoughts regarding death and how I foresee my future. Well, I thought, you know, maybe I should go online and see what other people say about it. And as I put it into perspective now, see if I would agree with that or possibly not agree with that. So we're going to talk about death tonight. But we're going to do it in a way where I'm going to first discuss a little bit about the decomposition, and then I'm going to move into interesting stories like the creepiest thing, funeral home workers encounter when they're in the morgue and all that. And I think that that in and of itself will provide the interest for this topic. Imagine a moment we die, okay? And unfortunately, it's going to happen to all of us. I just don't think they're going to make that pill fast enough where we're going to be able to live forever. And if they did make a pill where a person's body could start to revert back to its youthful self, I'm not sure it's recoverable, first of all. And secondly, I'm not sure most people want to be here beyond a certain point in time anyway. The conditions to want to stick around would have to be so ideal, and those people you want to be around would also probably have to be here too. So it gets to be pretty lonely when your family line or your friends start to depart and leave this earth. And so all of a sudden you start to think yourself, well, what's the point of hanging around? So anyway, the first one I'm going to discuss here very briefly is what happens to a body if they're cremated. Well, I think we all know that they go to a crematorium, and most people fear that it's going to hurt. Well, if the theories are correct, the dead body doesn't feel anything at the point of being burned up in a fire. Okay, let's hope that that is the case, although one cannot come back and report otherwise. Okay, and so basically, in a nutshell, the body is either brought into the crematorium, they're either in their clothes or they're in a sheet, they're wearing a hospital gown or whatever, and that's the body gets prepared. Anything that needs to come out, like therapeutic devices or heart pacemakers, you know, that kind of thing, those have to come out. And then usually all jewelry is removed anyway, because with the amount of heat that's in the incinerator, chances are likely it will melt to nothing while in there. So in this day and age, they're using actually natural gas, propane and diesel to do the trick. And then once the corpse is burned up, because the hair and the skin goes first, and then of course all the fat tissues and all that, the bone is what remains. The skeletal remains are the bones, and they get crushed up, and then they get put in a bag and given, they're a property, they're given to whomever. Now just keep in mind too that if Frank was in the incinerator just before you get in there, chances are likely you're probably going to get some of Frank's ashes in with your own. So let's hope the person that's in the incinerator before me is somebody that wasn't an axe murderer or something like that. Wouldn't that be something? All right. What happens if you go and you get buried naturally? Well, from what I understand, the body will ultimately decompose to nothing. It'll decompose to dust. But that could take approximately 40 years or less, depending on the conditions of the environment around the buried body or, of course, the physical physique of the body itself. What happens is microorganisms start to attack various organs within, and the intestines and organs within the body. And essentially, it's just like a little Pac-Man thing. It just starts eating away and eating you up. Now, I didn't realize that. I thought that the clothes would survive something like that, but they don't. The clothes also get eaten up as well. What does survive, ultimately, that's been reported, could be some teeth, could survive, and if there was a belt of some sort on the person, that could survive it. If most don't get buried with shoes, but if they were buried with shoes, possibly that might survive to some degree. But everything else is pretty much goes down to skeletal, and then after a while, the skeleton also continues to decompose, and it just drops into dust. Now, I'm not sure what happens to the dust. I don't know if that just disappears too or what, but it sounds to me like there's not much in there after a while. So that was part of the reason why I thought to myself, well, you know, why should I be buried in a full body anyway? I'm going to turn to dust ultimately. And my way of getting buried, cremated and then placed into a casket along with my personal treasures, like a time capsule. Yes, it's quite a different idea, but on the other hand, like I've said, and I said to people over and over again, I don't have children, and even if I did, they may not take care of the stuff anyway, but I'd rather see it go down with me than into a landfill, and that's my position on it. So let's see what happens here. Let's take a look. When you die, your skin turns ghostly, pale white. The blood all pools downward or down to the back, your back if you're lying on your back. Again, when you die, your wrinkles in your forehead and your lines around your mouth, they naturally disappear. If you have saggy skin, a little bit of that could remain, though. Bodies can moan and groan. That's because there's air left in their lungs somewhere, and because of that, the pressure when that gets applied makes a sound. And the muscles do turn to rigor mortis at first, and you harden up, but then after a while, you start to relax again, and everything just loosens up. And of course, the one thing we don't ever want to hear is that if you need to use the restroom, unfortunately, that will also probably come out as well. It does say here in a study that it does reveal that a passing person does seem to be conscious enough to know that they've actually died. Now, I do agree with this, and I also agree with the fact that I had a visitation from my father about, 2 months after he passed away, and in Indiana, and he had never visited my house before there, and he was from Minnesota, and so I knew it was him because of the smell that engulfed me at the time. It was pretty heavy, plus my brother had also talked about over Christmas time smelling that smell, and I thought that maybe it was just a little bit of his imagination, but because I wasn't around any farmers per se, that smell was fairly obvious, and I knew that he was around me. I do believe, firmly believe, that someone can remain in consciousness up to at least 3 months after they have died. How that happens or how that is, I do not know, and then I don't know what they decide to pursue after that, or if they phase out or what. I have no idea. This is the answer we're all trying to uncover, you know, while we're alive here. But for the, you know, you've heard of these stories before where people might see the deceased or whatever in ghostly form or whatever. I've heard of that in different cases. And so, and even to this day, I've had experiences at working with individuals, you know, when I'm doing my summer job at the Minnesota State Fair, and there's always a report of somebody hanging about, you know. Okay, so I think we should get into the interesting stuff here. First thing will be what funeral home workers describe as the creepiest thing they've ever encountered while being on the job. All right, so this one reports that medical technician was preparing a body, and he was, you know, shaving its arms and legs. he said that he accidentally nicked the person's skin. And I think what he was trying to say was that when that happened, and he was his hand started to curl around his hand, and it just creeped him out because, you know, it was just like a reaction that had happened at that time. Let's see, another one here was another mortician turned back to get some tools, and the body visibly started, out of the corner of his eye, started to slowly sit up. And, of course, the mortician got out of there because he was completely creeped out. And then, of course, he knew that this was a point of rigor mortis that set in. But, again, it was just the way it happened and the timing, and it just creeped him out to no end. And he had been doing this job for 15 to 20 years, but he ran out of there like a scared little girl. Sorry, but, you know, sorry to all the girls out there. Bodies do moan and groan. Yes, we've kind of talked about that because there's air in the lungs, and sometimes there's a vocalization of a gurgle. And I understand that because when my grandmother was passing away from a stroke, I heard the gurgle, and I also heard kind of a moan. And it bothered me a lot because I felt like I felt like she was still alive, but I think at that point she probably had passed away. This one technician here reports that every time a new body was brought into where she was at, the lights would flicker. Okay, now, let's talk a little paranormal on that one. Have I seen lights flicker before? Yes, I have. I've seen lights flicker in all kinds of situations. Some of them are paranormal, and some of them are LED lights. But in her particular case, it's a little bit too coincidental. So however the energy is interacting with the lights, I certainly don't know. But I do know that that is something I always watch for myself, depending on where I'm at. Here's an article on 16 horrifying true tales of people who woke up in a morgue. Okay, that's gross. And creepy. That's the last thing you ever want to do is wake up in a refrigerator. So, let's talk a little bit about this. A grandmother came back to life twice. She passed away. She was in the refrigeration morgue, whatever, all weekend. Her skin apparently was starting to peel back from her arms because it was so frigidly cold in it. And basically, in a nutshell, they're happy to have her back. She did die again a year later, and they did manage to bring her back to life this time rather than presume she was dead and put her in there. She must have been prone to heart attacks or something like that. A baby came back to life after 12 hours in a refrigerated morgue. That's creepy. And the thing with the baby, though, is that it had been in there for 12 hours. And then, of course, they heard a cry. And they're happy that the child was alive. But a year later, the child died of health complications. And it was probably due to something where it had originally died to begin with, but it just didn't make it. Here's an interesting one. A man snored himself awake on an autopsy table. Well, that's scary, especially before they start, you know, doing things to you. The confusion arose when he actually had a condition, epilepsy, which sometimes can trigger a trance-like state. Here's one. This one guy, he was 25 years old. This happened just a few years ago. He suffered a heart attack. He had been drinking a lot of vodka. He collapsed outside of a pub, was taken to a hospital. He was unresponsive, pronounced dead. Several hours later, the guard heard noises inside the mortuary refrigerator. He thought that kids had broken in, but to his surprise, the dead man was actually asking for a blanket. After getting checked out by the doctors, believe it or not, the guy went and headed back to the pub. Well, that's nice, isn't it? Okay. Alrighty, let's go to another thing here. Things you've always incorrectly believed about dead bodies. Well, the one thing that we all know about is we always think that hair and nails continue to grow. They don't. They just shrink back. That's one thing. A cadaver isn't always stiff. It's stiff at first, about for 12 hours, but then all of a sudden, about 18 hours, it'll start going back to reversing, where everything, including the muscles, will loosen up again. Burying a body without a coffin isn't a risk to water. Okay, back in the day when they were burying bodies without a coffin, they felt that the dead body would contaminate the water. They believe now that the body does not contaminate water, regardless, because of the microorganisms and how they break down the chemical compounds of the deceased. So even if the body isn't contained in a casket, whatever fluids or toxic substance leak out apparently will nullify itself before it gets into ground water. The one we just talked about, bodies don't sit up in the morgue. Well, they do sit up in the morgue if they're undergoing rigor mortis, you know. So basically, in a nutshell, it can happen, and muscles can twitch, and all kinds of things can happen, and eyes can come open, and you name it. But again, that's because of the rigor mortis, and then maybe if they let the body sit up for 12 hours or get to 18 hours, it'll fall back down, you know, as usual. Embalming isn't beneficial to public health. Yeah, well, first of all, it's a dangerous chemical, and whoever works with it has to wear something over their entire body and wear a respirator. Cremated bodies are not ashes. Okay, so this one here, a lot of people like to scatter the ashes. In some places, it's actually illegal, just because it may be on private property. And a lot of times, you might have to get a permit or ask for permission. Based, again, on the high temperature, everything burns down to a sort of ash. And then the bones are crunched up, and because they're calcified because of the heat, and they flake and crumble. And then, of course, they're put into probably a baggie until they find their final resting home. You know, there's a lot of people that pour these into the water, but a lot of times they want a person to be 3 miles out from shore and before they go and dump ashes. Embalmers, they do remove some of your pacemakers and stuff like that, but generally the rest of it's done by a medical doctor or a pathologist. Cadavers generally don't spread disease. They may not spread disease because apparently bacteria and viruses don't live beyond a day after a life ends. They do claim, though, that people had believed that dead bodies were dangerous to public health, and have held this belief even to this day, and that they're afraid of being around this person because of the air, you know, that they were breathing in, and they felt that it would make them sick. Actually, what probably would make them sick is the smell more than anything else. Working as a mortician, let's get some stories. Well, first of all, they say that it's hard to break into the death industry. I don't know why it's so hard, but it is. It's just not just anybody can jump into this industry, and there's not a lot of openings in it either. Let's see. Let's look at what we got here. Airbrushing is usually the preferred way to apply makeup. That we know. There was one story where this person had to take off this respirator, and it was taped to this guy's mustache. And apparently what happened was because of the state of being, the whole mustache ripped completely off. And to remedy this situation, the person had to go to a costume store to buy a mustache to try to recreate something. Sometimes it just, you know, it happens. I mean, any of you who know people who have passed away and you go and you see them and you know, they don't even look like them. Sometimes they do a really good job. I know my aunt looked really like she was just sleeping, like true to herself. I do know my dad didn't look anything like himself at all. And I do know that other people, when they lay down, their face kind of collapses down. And so, you know, it can change the look of them. But I know they try their best to get as close as possible. I guess the one that gave the boost to the embalming trade, the one that started it all off, believe it or not, was Abraham Lincoln. So I didn't know that, but that was that's kind of interesting when you think about where this all came from. It was when they wanted to see how to preserve him fairly well, and so that's how it all kind of began. Some of the most gruesome things about a body... I think I'm going to pass on the gruesomeness. It says your teeth may not survive. Every embalmer has their thing that creeps them out. Some of them say mine is teeth because I've had to break them in half just to get the mouth to close. Okay, well, that's interesting fact. So when you look at somebody, God knows what you're really looking at for their teeth inside. This is gross. They might have to pop your organs with a stick because otherwise they could possibly explode. Yuck. Let's see. They talk about ghosts. How to protect yourself against diseases. Your lips are sutured shut. Yeah, I guess. And yes, bones are crushed during cremation. Just looking at some of this stuff here. 11 facts about the decomposition of rates. Well, I think I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, and I'll mention it again. At about 12 years, most of the body, it's down to skeleton. What happens after that is probably around 40 years. It's either skeleton or it's now breaking down to dust in the casket. The clothes would also be gone. Teeth might remain, something like that, but it's all because these organisms, they don't expire when the body does. They just keep going, and then they start chewing away at stuff, and you get chewed right away, that's for sure. And let's see, is there anything else here? Not really. I think that one of the interesting things about whatever you decide to choose with your death, whether it's to be cremated, to be made into something, to be made into jewelry, whatever the case may be, just know that, understand that life can continue to go on afterwards. We know that from the consciousness. We know that. We don't know how long it goes on for before someone decides to go on further or go somewhere else. We do know that there are visitations where people do come back. I mean, why would we be studying this field to the extent if we haven't had some kind of experience? That's what paranormal investigators do. They try to figure this out. But when you die, of course, no matter which way you decide to go, you want to be made into a tree, jewelry, be careful about the paperweight because they end up in garage sales. You really don't want to be passed around sitting on somebody else's shelf. I just hope that we all go down, of course, with a hope and also a prayer. Thank you for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. Please continue to listen as I hope to bring you some more interesting segments in the future and turn the year, of course, with hopefully a few new guests. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information. Or go to Amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Thanks for listening. Take care. And until next time,
be careful what you wish for.
The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, or Para-X Radio Network. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, Para-X Radio Network, or its sponsors. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.